Brisbane wakes up with Steph, Abby, and Matt on B105.
All right.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yep.
Did he start doing that in movies? Has he just done it in one movie?
He only said it once, didn't he?
He is such an interesting character. I want to read his book.
Oh, yeah. He's cool on Instagram to follow.
Is he?
Does long speeches and stuff.
Oh, no.
But good ones.
Like,
all right, okay. Texas, I know you need help right now. And this is a town we got to dig deep.
A lot of Jesus stuff, too.
Is he religious, is he?
Big on God, yeah.
He's had a lot of horrible stuff happen to him as a child.
I think my wife read his book. And I think you can get an audiobook and he reads it for you.
No, really?
No, you would have to. You couldn't have Matthew McConaughey's book and not have him read it.
If he reads it, I haven't got downloaded any of the apps where you can get people to read the book. Do they comment in between or do they purely just read it?
Because
if you're reading your own book, I would want them to go like a little bit of...
Yeah. Yeah. But it would have to be from their perspective, wouldn't it?
Well, he's written the book, but at the same time, you'd expect him to go a little bit odd lip and go, hey, the next part coming up is
hilarious. They just read the book.
Do they?
Straight, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to want to stick around for this.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk myself up, but this gets really
exciting. I want
it to be
like a book reading.
There's
like
a little bit I left out here. The editor cut it out, let me tell you.
Do they do what we do at the start of this podcast?
Yeah,
you're our show, but we give you a little bit of commentary. That's what
extra.
I would like.
There's a group of people in the world who have to read their own books. He's one, Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
No one could read Morgan Freeman's book for him.
No.
Donald Trump would probably be one too. Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Sylvester Stallone.
I'd want Oprah to read her own.
Oprah would have to read hers.
Dr. Phil, all those voices.
Yeah. Prince Harry wouldn't. I don't reckon Prince Harry would have to read his own book. Wouldn't have the same to it.
No, well, he doesn't have the most distinctive voice. He just has a very posh.
And I guess if it's an autobiography, it almost has to be you too, isn't it? Because it would all be written in the first person. You know, because like, when I was 12, I was born in Texas. I was born a white man in Texas.
What do they do with a ghostwriter? You pay for someone to write your story?
Or they help you. They normally eat present.
That would be fun because I would need that because I'd just be procrastinating again and they'd be like, come on.
I know for a fact like you couldn't hire a ghostwriter because the whole time you'd be like, ooh.
It's a pretty cool name, isn't it?
Throwing things at him to see if it goes through him and stuff.
Knew you weren't a ghost.
It'd be like a year 10 project where they pay you up with the smart person, the dumb person. The smart person does all the work.
And they're like, that doesn't make sense. You're going to have to say it again. No, I read it like that.
There's some good kits you can get. I think I got one for my mum. My mum found one and someone else has got one. It's a autobiography writing kit and it sort of teaches you how to write your own and you write your own story. No, but I don't know what's in it, but it like shows you how to dig up memories and
where to start, where to search.
Yeah. Apparently that's good.
It would be that thing too, I think a ghostwriter would help you because you have a story and you think it's a sick story, but they would have to be like, that story is actually a bit shit.
Yeah. Well, you need to be super interesting and super famous to then write a mundane story that people are interested in.
Yeah.
Like if you're a sporting great, really, it's what everybody's seen. They've seen you on the field. There's not really much else to it, but you buy it because you're interested in that person.
Oh, I think you think for that one, you like to know what they were thinking at that time.
Yeah.
You know, on the pitch at Lord's.
Or the bits that you didn't know about. Like, so when, just say, everyone knows about, say, Cameron Smith and his grand final wins.
Mm.
But if, you know, if he's got some story of how things didn't go so well the week leading up, you know, like, oh, you know, I had a real bad ankle injury.
Mm.
No one knew about it.
Mm.
That's the cool stuff that you want.
What was that noise?
I don't know. You probably, guys mightn't have heard it down the mic, but it sounded like...
Train?
It totally sounded like a train, didn't it?
Yeah.
Ghost train.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
I would like to write a book, getting back to it.
What's stopping you?
Time management, dedication, discipline, dyslexia. A lot of D's,
A lot of D's.
The big D. Always getting in the way.
Well, I tell you what, you give up the D.
And
you want your book. You want your book. Just flourish.
They say everyone's got a book in them.
Yeah, I'd like to write about my troubled years.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of overcoming that.
Mm-hmm. I'd write a book, but I can't remember anything.
Brutally honest. Yeah. Mm.
How brutally honest?
Pretty brutally honest.
Mm.
Do you think the book would be so honest that you would lose people in your life?
I wouldn't be that honest.
Because that's what you got to, sometimes you got to remember that. There'd be people who wouldn't like. Because everyone's truth is different.
Published after. Yeah, I know. That's true. Yeah.
So doesn't necessarily mean anyone's lying, but, you know, you can have 10 people in the same situation and they will tell you the story differently from their perspective.
Yes. Look at Meghan Markle, hey? Yeah. And Prince Harry.
Just do what that cat did that we chatted to about the pregnancy and make it a fictional one, but it actually happened.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, the comedian. Mm. Yeah, yeah, that was he was a great chat.
So I'm writing a fictional book. Yeah. It's coming out.
This is my fictional autobiography,
not based
guys.
On true events at all.
And the guy named Shmav is not you, Stav, and Shmat is not you either.
What's my name? What's my non-name?
Shmabby.
Amateur.
Duh. Don't you know how to write a fictional autobiography? Shmi 105. You got to be careful when you talk about the Schmidt 105 years.
I used to always be confused with non-fiction and fiction when they used to send you in the library. I'm like, no, I want it to be true. Yes, that's non-fiction.
That's non-fiction.
But that's not.
Yeah. Just do real and not real.
Like, that's what I want it. Shove your fiction. That real or not real? Oh, God, yeah. Abby, you're so dumb.
Yeah, you should
real
write a book.
And make believe. The unicorns. The unicorns in the non-fiction or the fiction?
Forget it. Where's Wally? Where do you keep that in this joint?
Well, that actually
is
happened.
In the non-fiction.
All right, here we go. Let's roll the podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Ah, g'day. It's Tradie Chat Tuesday.
Well, he's the lippy chippy who likes to choose when he wears shoes. It's time to head to Abby's house and catch up with Scotty Too Hottie for Tradie Chat Tuesday.
Hey, how are we, people?
What size foot are you, by the way? I'm actually buying you some new shoes today.
20.
20?
Yeah.
He's being an idiot, mate.
Oh,
when can you not
say.
Know when he's...
Well, no, because you know how sometimes there's like US, UK...
No, he just probably doesn't want me to spend money or just trying to have a joke about size. Yeah, very typical.
You know what they say about big socks?
Yeah, small crocs.
That was close.
Big jocks.
He's driving at the moment down to the Gold Coast, and this is our issue because he doesn't like the drive. He hates traffic. For a man that's so calm and collective, he gets so angry when he's in the car. And I recorded something when we were going down there to you guys because Scotty thinks that if he's moving, he's succeeding.
I agree. Is there a point? Don't sit still. Hey, Scotty, take the side streets, continue to move, and then you're right.
Yeah, can you guys hear me all right, or do you want to
Well, pulling over would have been preferable before we took this phone call, babe. It's been like, what, 5 minutes?
I can still pull over now, mate.
Okay, mate.
You pull over. You pull over safely.
Scotty and I have had a rough night with our youngest bubs. Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Yeah. What I meant was Scotty wanted to get in the car and get out this morning. He's probably not even working.
So we've got the audio here. This is you guys going to the Gold Coast, peak hour
and
traffic.
It was Friday, okay? Mm. Now, we left Friday at 11:45 because we thought that would be enough time. And we're like, it's, you know, it's school holidays as well. Mm. Not as many people on the roads. It was insane. And as it was bumper to bumper, he did this.
So we're driving to the Gold Coast on the M1. What have we just done?
A little side step.
We've taken the exit at Pimpamar because Scotty thinks that he can beat the traffic. You're not going to make... This is not a shortcut. Why can't you just stay in traffic?
Nah, it's a shortcut, look.
You just think because you're moving that you're going to go in front.
Yeah, look. 10 cars in front. Near the truck, look. Can you see them out there?
You only went, like... But then we were just near that truck.
Really?
You've probably done... Honestly, you've probably done 11 cars.
Nah, more than that.
Oh.
20.
That's good. That's
good. You guys thinking that was good?
Yeah, you're 11 cars in front of where you were.
But...
No, 111.
No, you're such a liar. But why can't you? And this is the whole thing. He goes, "That was a ute," and I was like, "That wasn't the ute." And he goes, "Yeah, that was a ute that was behind us." I was like, "No, then how did you know?"
Well, you know, you do. You always pick
you're
a car.
Mark a car.
It's good when there's a car.
Oh, big
got,
truck. There
it's
was.
It's got a sign on it for a business, so you can tell. Mm. But Scotty, I love doing that too. You take the service roads, and so you cruise down and join back in. I mean, it's a bit of a dog move, but if you know it,
what happened when we were driving back on Saturday though with those service roads?
Oh, they were chockers. I feel sorry for the people that were heading to the Goldie on Saturday, sort of lunchtime. What time? Yeah, about lunchtime.
Every single...
And it was bumping about the
I reckon
busy almost.
Guy that was in the car with someone else had taken the service roads going, "I'll show you, babe." Mm. And they were chocker to chocker. They couldn't even move. Yeah.
Even
one of his friends, Franco, which way does he drive to get down the Gold Coast?
Well, Frank, he drives from Robina. So, he's in it all day. I just drove past there this morning and it starts at about Hyperdome there, and it just, and that was at, you know, 4 to 6.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It was 5:30. It was chockers, and I'm like, wow.
Because is he one of those people who goes via Bow Desert? You know, like you can drive for 3 hours.
He does, just so he's moving. And I'm like, that's not quicker, though. And he goes, yeah, but he's moving.
I like it.
People like to be moving, honey. You can't sit in the traffic. No. You're just frustrated.
But you're not getting any quicker, though.
Oh, well, you weigh it up. You're kind of quicker in your brain.
Yeah. It's true.
It feels quicker.
It is true.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to get, so if there is an accident, and if you're in the gridlock, you can't get out. Mm. So you're out of the gridlock. The possibilities are just a little bit more open if you're on the move.
Plus, Bow Desert's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm just holding up the traffic from Topgolf now because I'm on the last interchange lane here. So
we'll let you go then.
Well, there you go. If you're doing something illegal, we try not to promote that. So
I'm pulled over safely. It's all good.
All right, I'm only joking. Yeah. I've just stopped in the middle of the M1.
Hey, honey, just a quick one. I just heard Nat just saying on the radio because I listen to the radio now. I'm driving down the coast to Shirley.
Yeah. Mm.
Your first boyfriend's going to be ringing up today. He's got a thing about your 40th. What's going on there? Still keeping in touch. Gotta go. See you later.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
We just got back from holidays, had a lovely time. And at the start of the holidays for the Easter long weekend, touch and go, obviously, because of all the lockdown stuff and Thursday and whatnot. But we ended up going down the Tweed to see my best mate, Danny Boy, and his lovely partner, Kat. And we took Gus down with us and Rory. We went down there. They've got a lovely place down there. And it was really nice for them because they had a dog before Eddie. They had Eddie Yettles. And they had him for 15 years. And he just, maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, he passed away.
Oh, I didn't get to meet Gus.
No, he did. We went down there. And it was really nice. Last time we went down there, he was like really old. And we actually said goodbye because we didn't know when we were going to go back. And we were like, we're not going to see him again. So we all got to say goodbye properly, which was really nice. Then he buggered off, actually, and they thought, that's it, he's gone. You know how dogs sometimes wander off and then...
They say that they go away to die, so they don't leave the pain for their owners.
So he did them dirty.
Or do they just forget their mind and not know which
not know where they are.
Well, my version's a bit sweeter.
Yeah, no, totally. Right. Okay, sorry, but where did we go then? They just
I'm comforting people whose dogs left.
Yeah, mine's almost...
Yeah, but he came back. So he was missing for 3 days. They wrote him off.
I've got no respect for your feelings. Yeah.
So they got another couple of weeks, and then they finally had to get him put down. And Kat's had him for 15 years. She was really upset, and it really, like, she was really sad. And even to the point when we got there, even just her talking about it, she would start to tear up and she would start to cry. So it was really lovely to take Gus down because Gus is a young puppy and to have a dog back in the house, and they really enjoyed having him around. And, you know, it was like, hey, we got a dog for a while. And all those questions of, you know, do we get a new dog now? We've had, you know, and she's at the point where she doesn't know if she can go through that again because she's looking at the 15-year mark when she's got to say goodbye again. And it was so tough, you know. So they're really, you know, they're still on edge about it. And they got a bit of property there, and they actually got to take Eddie back to their house, and he's buried in the backyard.
Oh no.
And they've made a little shrine and stuff, and Chloe, their daughter, has painted some signs like "Miss You, Eddie" and all that sort of stuff on, and there's flowers there and stuff. And Dan took me.
Not cremated?
No,
because when the vet just gives you an option that they can cremate them or you take them home, and my parents used to always say it was very much nicer to take them home, but that's because the cremation was too expensive.
Is it? How much is it?
They told me that later on, so that's why we had our dogs buried in the backyard.
Right.
I'm nervous.
And then so Dan said, come and see the dog, because I knew Eddie for years as well. He's a great dog, lovely dog. He was one of the best dogs you'd ever meet. So Dan said, come and have a look at his grave. And Gussie came with us, and we went around down the little pathway, and there we were at the grave, and Gussie shat on it.
Oh, that's so much better than what I thought you were going to say.
I thought all the bones had been dug up and Gus had eaten all the bones.
No, Gussie took a dump on Eddie's grave.
Well, that's probably what dogs do. They sniff each other's butts. So it's like, well, you're not here. Here's a bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the way they took it.
This is my house now. I honestly thought the same as Abby. I thought you were going to say Gus had dug up the dog.
No. Oh. He just defecated on his
They
memory.
Wouldn't eat. They wouldn't.
No, they don't. No.
Because that's never happened when we've brought a dog over to our house where
they've dug it up.
Yeah, our old dog is.
It's funny, I don't think they would dig up their own, but no, they would dig up like a dead bird or something.
That's what I'm saying, but they must be able to smell it because it's never happened. Mm. Yeah. You reckon a bone's a bone? No, because I've brought our dog over to...
She's talking to the producer. so we have a little message system here. Siobhan has written a bone is a bone. They would
yeah,
think.
As if a dog's going to know and be like, oh, that was what a canine was.
It would smell like a dog.
Yeah. I'm with you, Siobhan. I reckon they would just see a bone and chew it.
Yeah.
I brought them back before, and can I be honest, my dad was pretty lazy and didn't bury it very deep. He was like, nah, this is very good, that's fine, no worries.
That's shameful for an Adelaidean.
That's more of a barrel thing.
That's true.
So is the dog not allowed in the house anymore?
No. Dan's got a pretty good sense of humour. He's like, good boy.
Good boy.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
An act of family violence has left three young children dead and a mother after a horrific car fire.
31-year-old Hannah Clark and her three children were ambushed by her estranged husband, Rowan Baxter.
There are people out there that do need our help that are currently experiencing or have experienced domestic violence. Mm. And it was so horrific what happened. It's over a year ago to Hannah and her three beautiful children that was brutally murdered by her estranged husband. And we had the privilege of having Sue and Lloyd in with us.
Two of the most amazing human beings I've been
so
in a room with.
Unbelievable. And I've only had the privilege of knowing them for such a short time. But how they get through is amazing because they want to help other people. They always say that you laugh and you drink, and they've thrown themselves into the charity as well to be able to help other people. When they came in the studio, we sort of were talking why they want to set up the charity Small Steps for Hannah, and this is what Lloyd was saying.
Our aim now with Small Steps for Hannah, it's sort of like a twofold thing. We want to try and educate people, help out the community, and also fundraise. Once we make some decent sort of money, we want to then channel that into other DV organisations who are helping survivors of DV. There's a lot out there and they need as much as they can.
And we said that as a show we're going to get behind and be able to support them, and I've put my hand up to be an ambassador as well as Pedro Sivanasiva.
Well done. Yeah.
That because I'm emceeing the event and I do not want to get it wrong.
You've got plenty of time. You practice.
Petro Sivanasiva.
Sivanasiva, yeah, that's what I said,
nailed
right?
It.
Petro Sivanasiva. And Anastasia Palaszczuk will also be there.
Oh, no, that's Palaszczuk.
Oh, no, don't do that. But it is their official launch. So I just want to mention it because a lot of people will say, how can we help?
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy tickets to the official launch. It's happening on the 30th of April. It's at the Greek Club. So it's going to be a day event, four-hour drinking
restaurant.
Package
that's
as well.
I love it there, yeah.
So we've put it up on our stories at B105. You can swipe up to buy tickets. They are $170, which I know is a lot, but it does go to worthwhile cause. And like I said, for our drinking package as well.
I hear the comedian's not too bad.
Now, here's the thing as well, and I have to say, if you want to do donations, if you don't want to go as well, there are a lot of wonderful companies that want to donate for either the raffle or the auction. So you can either direct message me or the Small Steps for Hannah Instagram page as well and say I want to donate something.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. They said to me, who's the best comedian? And I always have this joke with you, Stav, that I think Tom Gleason is my favourite.
It's not a joke. He's your favourite.
Yeah, but you're there. And I've always said you're second.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you're second. And then when they said that, I was like, Kat Davidson. And I went, I know.
That's my wife.
I know. Like, I know her because I work with Stav.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, right. And
please tell me you went through Stav to ask her.
Yep.
I was like, it's an event where we want people to have fun. We are raising money and it's such a serious cause that, you want someone that just has class to get through comedy still in such.
What I love about Abby is she went, you're probably not the right person for the job. And I, in fairness, I went, you know what?
Did you want me to ask you, though?
No.
Because I didn't ask you. I just said, would Kat be interested because I want a top comedian? I was like, well, she's Brisbane's second best comedian.
I don't do it anymore.
Okay, good. So she is. That's great.
I haven't had a gig in years.
Did you want one?
No, I'm good. No. I mean, I'd love to support the charity, though. Don't get me wrong.
Okay,
I'm giving out my wife.
Okay.
Do get on. Check out the stories on the B105 Instagram. And if you're able to support, it's a wonderful charity. And just from our meeting with Hannah's parents, they've got a great positive look on the way they're doing it. So I think this event will be a fun event, and they bring a lot of light into a room, and I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. The big thing they talked about in our chat was coercive control.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. And Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Changing the legislation.
She's been wonderful chatting with them about it, changing the law, and some people have looked and gone, oh, that's too hard, it's never going to work. But it's happened over in the UK, and it really can, because I think a lot of people have taken away and said, oh, but I was never physically hurt. So I didn't think it was domestic violence, but the society's changing to realise that that's not the case. Mm. Some people can be controlled in so many different ways, and it's not right. So we want to be able to change that.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Australia's biggest social experiment is back.
Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight.
Oh, Married at First Sight. Is that it?
No, it's not it. That's more. No. They have reunion shows. Last night you thought it was it. And right. I was a little bit distraught last night, because I think the relationship that a lot of people have been talking about that they think is toxic is Bryce and Melissa. Mm. And they were expecting Melissa to go, hey, at the, you know, their last vows, I've been watching back everything you did to me and screw you. But she didn't. She said this.
Despite the rumour, the conflict and everyone's opinion on our relationship, I know deep down in my heart that I have never felt this way about anyone. And I can absolutely say with certainty that I am in love with you. And in my vows, I said that I wanted an all-consuming and unconditional love. And I can confidently stand before you today and say that I have found all of that and more in you.
Oh, what a load of crap.
You don't buy it?
If I was Melissa's father.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go. You can't father everyone. I know you want to.
You.
But what has been the big talk is Bryce having a girlfriend when he went into the experiment. Apparently, whether it was a girlfriend or just seeing someone, and that's come up throughout the show.
Yeah, they've had massive fights at dinner parties about it, and he has denied it profusely throughout the entire thing. And we have been contacted by someone who is a friend of this woman, the girlfriend, right? Mm. So they're going to confirm with us right now, because the person they say is the girlfriend is a real human. She exists, but is she your girlfriend or is she not? We have Anonymous on right now who can confirm or deny. Good morning.
Morning.
Now, what was the relationship between this girl that you know and Bryce when he went into the experiment?
They were full-blown dating and they loved each other.
Right.
So when you say...
They dropped the elbow.
I know. When you say full-blown, I would have thought, because he's told us, that it was just like a casual slip with each other a couple times. How long had they been dating for?
He had moved to Canberra in sort of like May, June, and he went to film the show in September, October. He would have met her just weeks after moving there, which now she's also learned was pretty much as he was ending his engagement.
Right.
How did he have time to work? Does anyone want to think about this? You end your engagement, you date someone, you're going on a reality show and you're still working. I think it's more excuse.
When you're that taller, you can make it work.
Out of experience, are you saying?
No, no people have told me.
Okay, no worries.
So throughout the show, they were in love, telling each other that they loved each other. Why was she continuing your friend, who is this girlfriend? Why was she continuing to date someone who was on a show like this?
He had this conversation with everybody that he knew and that she knew, and it was that he had spoken to Melissa, that they didn't actually share the same apartment during filming of the show. That was a myth that the show portrayed on TV, that really they had their own apartments, and that he told her that he wasn't interested, and that, and the thing about Beck is true. He told people that he told Beck.
Oh, so Beck was the girl, the contestant in the gym who he told about the girlfriend and the gift. Do you know whether or not it's true that he was... Because she was also saying that he was hitting on her in that gym there. Mm. Do you know anything about that?
At the time, he told Courtney that he was just having a conversation with her and that she had made out like the experiment was all... fake as well, but since then she's found out, Courtney, that he was hitting on her as well.
Right, and Courtney is your friend, yeah, right. When was the last contact that your friend had with Bryce, whether it's text message or meeting in person?
It was sort of in the last few weeks. He actually had the audacity to have a go at her for moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Telling her that, like, of course she would do that. She's such a loose woman.
Whoa.
It was wild, and it was really upsetting.
I imagine, too, also being in Canberra, that's a pretty, you know, small-knit community. Everyone is talking about this, I would imagine, for the poor girl.
Yeah, can we also make very clear that he was in Canberra for, like, 4 months?
And this week, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Was he only in that town?
He only went there in May. He started dating her. He went on the show in August or September.
He's like Cyclone Bryce. Yes. Just come in and tear up the joint.
So was he texting her throughout the whole experiment? Did he meet up with her throughout the experiment? Because they had a couple of breaks, apparently, on the filming.
Yeah, because she was telling us. She thought, oh, well, no, everyone in the show knows, like, it's fine because he FaceTimes me with the boys around.
So it's all just a bit of an act that he's on the show and he really loves me. How is your friend coping now? Well, especially after seeing the last vows of them declaring that they love each other.
She hasn't been watching the show. She didn't watch it from the beginning. She met someone else who's much nicer and just for her mental health said, I'm not going to engage or involve myself in it because Bryce ended it with her pretty much the day before last night's episode filmed.
Right.
Right.
Oh, it was filmed. And it was filmed back in November or December?
December-ish, yeah.
Yeah, so he came back to Canberra and he was in a bit of a bad way because he'd had, obviously, a lot of people coming at him about her. And he met up with her and said, you know, we got to end this. And she kind of was at that point already because he'd admitted to her on her birthday that he had actually been physically intimate with Melissa, which she didn't think was the case. Like, he'd lied about that previously. Came back to Canberra and he was in a bit of a bad way because he'd had, obviously, a lot of people coming at him about her. And he met up with her and said, you know, we got to end this. And she kind of was at that point already because he'd admitted to her on her birthday that he had actually been physically intimate with Melissa, which she didn't think was the case. Like, he'd lied about that previously. And, yeah, ended it with her. They hooked up again, I'm pretty sure. And, yeah, then he went and said yes to Melissa the next day.
You saying that he did an ending relationship hookup?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Classic.
it's the last hurrah
and Fifi, your friend, but it just...
So he sleeps with the outside girlfriend one last time, showers, puts his clothes back on, goes back to Sydney...
And says, I love you during the last vows.
And then goes through that.
Yeah, and then tells all of his... people in Canberra are like, I'll ruin your life if you tell anyone.
Wow. So that was because in the episode they didn't show a lot of it, but there was talk of him trying to get everyone to delete photos and stuff like that or something?
Yes, that did happen. But the funny thing is he actually put the photos up himself at the time. He went to a wedding with this girl and put photos up of him... like cuddling up to her and everything on his own Instagram, and then they got leaked and he was angry about it.
Right. When did they go to the wedding together?
It would have been like probably 2 weeks before he went to filming.
Wow, because it's such a big thing when you go to a wedding with someone. It's really, it feels like this is my partner. Someone else is paying for the ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we don't know Bryce. We've spoken to him once before. And I don't know if you knew him for 4 weeks through your friend. At any point, he could have actually just said, oh, okay, I'm deep enough into this now and come clean.
Mm.
Do you think or know why he wouldn't have just been honest? Because now it feels like he's gotten so far down the rabbit hole, the guy can't come back from it.
I think that's what he always does, though, because now we're learning that he cheated on his fiancée a lot of times. When he moved to Canberra, he was still with his fiancée when he met. And he also had a attempt at hooking up with Connie from the last season, he was pursuing her while he was with his fiance.
I mean, let's be honest. We're all forgetting that it married at first sight is probably not for love.
Oh, shut no. How dare you?
I know, but you know.
Yeah, but I also think he's a narcissist.
He's a type of person that enters the show. I mean, benefit of the doubt, maybe Melissa and him do really love each other.
Maybe.
You're not buying it?
No.
I mean, I reckon what he's done, honestly, is kept his feelers out everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ended. Oh, wait a minute, I'm on a national show. Melissa, yep, I really do love you.
I don't think they love each other. And look, I'm only
speculating. Maybe Melissa is really screwed over here and she's not a part of this so-called...
She could be.
Fame contract that you're saying.
Well, Anonymous, you are the friend of Bryce's girlfriend that he had before and during the filming of Married at First Sight.
But broke up the day before the last vows.
And yes. Got together just after his engagement broke up. It's a roller coaster.
Well, no, he was still with his fiancée, got with this girl, went on Married at First Sight.
I'm glad that your friend's happy now, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I think she needed, unfortunately, to see the light, but it's a very stressful time.
Well, we appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
There she is, Anonymous, on the air here at B105. You could sit here and there's so many questions.
So did you see what it was rating?
Oh, would have what?
It's through the roof.
300 million people?
Yeah.
I don't watch that rubbish. Why would I watch that rubbish? Quick, get on.
No, it's all of Bryce's exes.
Or currents.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Alpha Bucks, $10,000 is what it is worth every day. 8 a.m. We're going to play tomorrow on the 14th of April.
Oh, your letter is R and two of the answers are Reese Witherspoon and raspberries. I just thought you were going to do your Reese Witherspoon joke.
Don't have a Reese.
Reese without a spoon.
No, that actress that got stabbed, Reese. Someone say Witherspoon.
Witherspoon.
No, with a knife.
That's what I thought.
Remind me after the podcast, I've got a dirty joke to tell you.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
I got a joke for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. This one's not for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Someone told me, because they said I never remember jokes, so they're going to tell me one I can remember, and now I've always forgotten. Why don't ants get sick?
Because they've got antacids.
Because they're tiny antibodies.
Because they're tiny antibodies.
It's good.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
I think we need to warn listeners of our show. There's a new pandemic going on.
It's not our show. It's just that everyone was doing something in January that I obviously wasn't doing. I don't know if everyone else was doing it, but... not as much as our workplace here.
There's a lot of things in this world that are contagious.
Uh-huh.
COVID-19,
yep.
As we learnt.
Uh-huh.
I believe breakups
divorces, you believe are
contagious.
Yeah.
Like you notice in a group of friends that if one couple break up,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden all these people around them start
so
to reassess and break
divorced,
up.
Just know that Maddie will distance himself because he's so fearful of that happening to him because at any moment his wife
might... If you could
might...
distance yourself from me while I'm on your couch, that'd be really handy.
You know I'd let you sleep over, bro. Like, we'd be playing Fortnite.
But there have been a lot of announcements happened at our workplace. You guys can talk about your bromance later on. Because our executive producer... told us that you're what in October?
Having a baby.
We're all
yay!
Having a baby. So Siobhan's having a baby. We're all excited.
Lucy has been having it. Lucy, who works here, she's due
in June.
Okay. So Lucy was first one to get pregnant, which, you know, she got married and we're all just waiting. We're doing that. When do you reckon she's going to tell us?
Yeah.
So she said she was. So that was the first person. In our content team. Then Siobhan comes out, says she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jack, our boss.
He's pregnant.
Bloody hell. Baby. Don't miss out the men just because they're not the one, Karen.
Well, so he got his wife pregnant too.
So she's doing...
It's his wife he got pregnant, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just checking.
And then this one surprised me. I could guess all the others, but this one surprised me that Candy, otherwise known as Abby, but she had to change her name, our boss here... When are you due? What's the difference between you and Siobhan?
I think it's 4 days.
Wow.
So you're due 4 days after Siobhan?
Yeah.
If you go 4 days early, the two of you could be in there racing each other. essentially.
Place bets.
Yes.
Oh, we already have, but we were going to pretend that we didn't. It's be nice.
So, Candy told us yesterday after the show that she was having a baby, and then last night...
Mm.
Ash London announced that she is having a baby. That one I did know about because I'm friends with her partner, but they're due in October as well.
So if you win a prize from here, you might not want to come into the office.
There's something...
Do you know who is my favourite person throughout this?
Mm.
Nat. Is she there? Mm. She is in fearful. Like, she's in so much fear. How old are you, hun?
I'm 24.
And having a baby is your worst nightmare at the moment?
I could not think of anything worse. But right now, all I'm hearing about is babies.
Yeah.
And now, actually, can you stand up for a second, Siobhan? See, oh, my God. We need to get a photo of these girls. They wear the same clothes every day. They wear the same B105 jumpers.
Have you been wearing the baggy jumper, though, just to sort of hide?
Yeah, we're trying to hide bumps all over the place here, mate.
So what are you... What is it? Like, babies are contagious. Breakups and babies.
Well, also, can I be honest?
And cooties.
It's not as much. It's that everyone's the same age. Girls, all of a sudden, when they turn 30, go, yeah. Baby!
Yeah.
I need a baby!
Yeah, that's what my wife did.
So that's right. What it is. So it's more that Ash and Siobhan and Candy are exactly the same age.
It's the clock. The clock has ticked.
No, I reckon you should just have one. Just join in.
You say that to everyone, though.
Said it to everyone. That's what I said to her. Mm.
There's no time like the present.
Yeah, and then what do we come in here with no support team?
I do not get pregnant, please. No.
That's okay. It won't be happening anytime soon, guys. Okay. Don't worry.
Right. Although we are all getting our whooping cough vaccine so we can have baby cuddles.
Yes.
I got it already. One step ahead of you.
When did you get an update?
For you. And it lasts for 10 years.
Is it 10? No, I thought it was only 4.
5. Still, that was not that long
ago. You just said 10 and Abe said 5.
Well, someone just yelled at me 5. But it wasn't that long ago. How old's Koa? Babe.
Oh, yeah.
He's not 5.
No, he's not. You're right.
Hurt. I wouldn't do it, man. He hurts really.
Oh, my God.
Did I tell you what happened?
Yeah, I remember. He went in and complained about his arm.
I had the midwife coming over to check on me and check my wound and check the baby. And he's like, can you check on my arm? I had to have the whooping cough vaccine.
I was joking, but it did really hurt.
No, you weren't. You weren't joking. I know you. Well, you're right. I'll kick my toe on the way upstairs.
you girls don't know the pattern.
Congratulations to everyone. We're so happy for all you girls. But we're just saying, if you're a B105 fan, be careful, guys.
Yep.
Be careful.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Back from holidays this week, guys.
Yes.
Had a lovely little trip with the wife to Sydney, which was nice. Kid-free in a hotel is always such a treat.
Fantastic.
Yes, to
isn't
sleep,
it?
Right?
Yeah, there was nothing but sleeping going on. All my dreams and aspirations versus reality, you know. But anyway, nevertheless, it was lovely to be alone with my wife. And on the way home, we were a tad hungover at the airport on Sunday because we caught up with some friends and had a lot of wine responsibly. And, of course, when you're at the airport, you go straight to the food court hungover. We got Red Rooster. You're lined up.
I know exactly where you are in Sydney. Yes, yes. Yep. It's just at the left, isn't it?
You got it.
You go through and you look at everything and then you go, why did I go through and look at everything else? I'm just going to go back there.
We walked up to Sumo Salad and pretended like we were interested. Neither of us had any intention of getting a salad. So we're there, we're lined up. Quite a long line. And there was a trainee serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to be as polite as possible to trainees.
Because you used to work at Macca's.
Yeah, and also too, you know, they're nervous as anything.
Yeah.
But there was a guy in front who is quite possibly the most annoying human being in the world.
Okay.
And I want to know on 131060 if you've got an annoying human being in your life who always has to order something ridiculous. You know those people when you go out and they've got to be just annoying orderers?
Can't order off the menu.
Can't order off the menu. Mm. They've got to change something.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered... And everyone stopped and looked at him like, what the hell? He ordered a double bacon burger with half the bacon.
What?
I don't get it. Why didn't he just order a normal one?
That's what the trainee said. He's like, no, I like the double bacon burger, but I want half of the bacon.
So he likes everything else that comes with the double bacon burger. What else comes with it besides the double bacon?
Chicken, lettuce,
cheese. Why can't he just take the bacon that he doesn't want off?
Because he doesn't
want
to pay for it, I guess. Well, did he get a discount? He wouldn't.
This is the thing. They're like, no, because in those systems, and the manager comes over and goes, hey, and it slows everything down. So we're hungover. Everyone, I'm sure, is hungover at the airport waiting. So the trainee's like, how do I put this in? You're like, oh, you can't. You can just say half the bacon. And the trainee's like, you still have to pay for the double bacon burger. He's like, I don't care. I always order this and I always have trouble doing it. Well, then don't order it if you always have trouble.
I used to work at Red Rooster. I remember that guy.
So then you're like,
did you run out of chickens one day?
Yeah, we ran out of chickens one day.
So you have one job.
You're like, fine. So we finally get through the guy who wants the double bacon burger with half the bacon. And I'm like, finally, my turn to order so I can get my hot chips and my chicken tenders. And I walk up. I'm finally there. Walk up to get served. I'm like, clear to go. I've been standing here for what feels like 45 minutes. Then someone from the kitchen comes out to the trainee with the docket and goes, you've made a mistake. Someone's ordered a double bacon burger with half the bacon. And they go, no, that's what they want. And the cook goes, why would someone want a double bacon burger with half the bacon? I'm standing here and I just go, it was him and it's what he ordered. I witnessed it. Can you please just make the double bacon burger with half the bacon? I need my chips. I'm hungover. Come on, guys.
Freddy's like, don't quit. I can't stand this.
Everyone is looking at this guy, like staring at him, because everyone's waiting while they have 15 conversations about the double bacon burger with half the bacon.
So we went out for dinner on Saturday night, and one of the people that we were in asked for a dish, which basically is all about this like mayonnaise sauce thing, and said, can you not get the sauce? And I have to appreciate that the waiter just went, well, that's the dish, mate.
Good.
And we all laugh. And he goes, but I don't want it. And he goes, well, could I recommend you get something else? And he goes, no, I want that, but with no sauce. He goes, but that's the dish. And I just went back and forth and I was like, oh, well played.
They should have just brought an empty plate out and just gone,
there you go.
It happens to baristas. When I was a barista and you used to come and you used to get people saying, can I please have like a half strength soy decaf that's lukewarm?
Yeah.
And you're like, can you say it back three times? Like, that was always hard.
But 131060, whether it's you, feel free to admit that it's you. Or do you know someone who is an annoying orderer?
Bacon and egg sandwich without the egg? That's Staff.
No, I just ask for a bacon sandwich. You don't even mention the egg.
But then they always say to you, do you want egg? And you go, no.
And then it's done, sorted.
But can you peel the egg off?
How many times have we ordered and they've put an egg in anyway when someone's gone to get it?
Yeah, idiots.
They're like, it's a bacon and egg sandwich.
If I'm ever behind you hungover, you order a bacon and egg.
And he normally says, with extra bacon. Can I have
Hang on. Then do you whinge and say that you shouldn't have to pay for the extra bacon because you're not getting the egg?
No, I'll happily pay
that. Okay, that's good then. That's good. The 131060, they're out there. They're out there. Annoying orderers.
Timothy in Ipswich, what does your partner order?
Oh, she orders Big Mac with no meat, mate. Like, how can you get a Big Mac?
Also, hang on, we got a bad line. We'll come back to you there.
Okay. Mate, what else is in a Big Mac?
Two all beef patty, special sauce, cheese, bit of onions, and sesame seed bun.
Yeah. We'll come. We'll see if we can get him back, Timothy. Hey, Lorraine.
Morning.
What do you get ordered?
So I'll give my restaurant a plug, Wilson's Boathouse.
Yeah,
great spot.
So, as you know, seafood restaurant, but one lady came in and she asked for a bruschetta. So it's got the feta cheese and then a little bit of onion and the basil tomato without the bread.
That's salsa.
That's a salsa. Exactly. She wanted the bruschetta without the bread. It's like, really, yeah. And the poor waitress had to go and ask that from the chef and he was like, what?
I hate asking the chefs for different, special orders. They just look at you and you're like, I'm so sorry.
I always love asking for a steak well done.
No,
because the waiter will say, if it's the right chef, the waiter will say, nah, they won't do that.
Did you notice what I did when we went out for dinner? I said, what would the chef recommend? And they said they would want medium rare, and I went, I'll go with that.
Yes.
Just years of working in the kitchen being scared of the chef.
Hey, Natalie from Ashgrove, the most annoying orderer in the world.
I used to have a boss that would order a coffee with half skim milk, half full cream milk.
Okay.
Half the calories, hey? Right.
Not too much for a full cream?
Christine, what have you got for us?
Is that me?
Yeah.
I used to work at McDonald's as manager, and we used to have this customer used to come in quite frequently. And he would order a dinner box with a Big Mac, no pickles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went out because he was losing it, and I said, what's the problem, mate? And he said, oh, my wife likes Big Mac burgers, but she doesn't like the pickles because she's allergic to pickles. And I said, well, she can't be allergic to pickles, mate, because pickles are in the sauce.
Yeah.
And he said, bloody blow me down. And I said, so she can't be allergic.
It is, because the pickle juice is one of the main ingredients
of the
Big Mac sauce.
That's so funny,
because
I know so many people that say they're allergic to different foods just to sort of get it across the line.
Christine, it doesn't work, because people used to say that when I worked at Macca's, because they thought then you have to remake the whole burger. Remember, they used to be in the slots?
Oh, yeah.
But now everything's made fresh there anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Mm. So exactly, but it's just like, you know, if pickles are such a big deal, why can't you just take the pickles off? Because obviously he's not allergic to it. So, but yeah, he just made a big drama. I think he wanted a free box.
He wanted a refund.
Amy in Wellington Point.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think I'm the annoying orderer, only because, like, I religiously order a work burger.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask for no lettuce, no beetroot, no tomato.
So you take the works out of the works burger.
I do, because, like, my theory is, though, by the time, if you're not eating it there and you get home, it all goes soggy, so then you've destroyed the burger.
But then just get a different burger that doesn't have those things on it.
But I want the works burger, but just without them.
Do they give it to you at discount, or you still pay full tote?
No, I still pay full price. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Hey, Laurie, we're asking about annoying orderers. What do you got for us?
Hey, how are you going? I'm actually a beauty therapist, and I've talked to you guys so all the time, but thanks. I had a lady come in for a facial. She didn't want her eye makeup removed or her lipstick removed. She didn't want toner used in the facial. She didn't like how it felt on her skin.
Mm-hmm.
And she requested that I do not do a face mask, because it made her feel claustrophobic.
So what did you do?
I charged her full price for the facial, and I just did a lot of fluffy massage.
Because there's not much you can do without taking off the eye makeup and the lipstick. And
no, well, it's all part of the facial. The same as a mask. Like, you put a mask on, and that, you know, that takes up like 15 minutes of your time, and you kind of like do a hand massage or whatever. Yeah. So
I would have charged.
I did fluffy.
Charge extra. Yep, just call it bespoke, because it's bespoke.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
I'm on Tinder.
I need to find love.
Well, here we go, guys.
Mm.
Who we're going to speak to is currently one of the most swipe right men on Tinder.
Does that mean he's the Fabio of 2021? The most beautiful man in the cosmos?
I don't know. But James Langdon joins us now. Morning.
Good morning.
How many times, James? If you're the most swipe right guy on Tinder, did Tinder tell you the exact, like YouTube tells you how many views you get?
No, they didn't actually. They just contacted me via email just to tell me about it. And then I was in, you know, various magazines and, you know, did online features and stuff. But no, they didn't actually tell me a number.
Oh, Is it true that your family found it the most hilarious thing they've ever heard?
Pretty much, yeah. It was, I remember just speaking to them. They said, oh, by the way, I'm doing a feature next week for the dating app Tinder. And the first thing was almost, oh, you're on Tinder. And I was like, yep, and I've completed it.
Was it kind of like, you know, when you talk about pizza and an ad pops up on your phone for pizza? Was it kind of, because I wouldn't have been aware that Tinder counts how many times you get swiped on.
Well, yeah, it's without going too technical into it. They have complex algorithms that like rank your profile and stuff like that. So yeah, they know exactly how many matches people are getting.
Wow.
Before we work out how many, I guess, conversions you've got from swiped right into the dating world, you've now gone into, I guess, being an expert on what makes the perfect profile pic?
Yeah, so I, funny enough, when we went into lockdown in the UK, I actually started a business called Data Help. So I literally do that pretty much, well, not quite full time, but yeah, I'm helping people with their select their photos and, you know, writing bios and conversation tips and that kind of thing for any dating app, really.
Yeah,
it is
right.
A nice profile pic, but it's a neutral profile pic. So what would you say?
Oh, you don't think it's that good?
No, what I meant by neutral is it doesn't really say much about you. You're just standing in front of some beautiful coloured doors and you're not really smiling, but you look pensively looking over the other side. So do you think that's important just to make it quite neutral?
To be honest with you, I actually break every single rule that I actually advise my clients with my own profile.
Because you want to keep them all for yourself, James. This is how you do it. I'll help you all out. You make them look terrible, and then you've got all the women in the world. I love it. Nice work.
When I help people with their profiles, I work in digital marketing, so I know sort of about impressions and, conversions almost a funnel, if you like. And when you've got somebody who's making direct eye contact with the camera and smiling, got a really colourful background as such, it's just a lot more inviting, and it gets a lot more conversions. Right swipes. So it's not a case of changing the person. It's most of the time changing the profile, and you can't be sat opposite somebody, in a restaurant or a bar, and if they left swiped on you. So even though it's something so small, it's so important, because if you don't get, if you don't get the match, you don't get the date. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
What do you think girls are doing wrong in their profile pic? What is the biggest turnoff for men to swipe right on?
Someone standing next to their ex.
See, I always find it confusing when girls put up photos of them with a group of friends. Like, I know that that's wonderful. They've got a lot of friends, but it's confusing because you never know which one is them.
Hey, Michelle, who's your hot friend on the left?
That's me.
Yay. What about for guys then?
Holding fish.
I've heard that before.
We actually asked this from listeners, and all of them called saying, "I hate it when guys hold fish in the profile pic," and we didn't know it was a big thing.
Well, the thing is I have a bit of a theory. They say obviously things like, the pill and condoms is, let's just say, 90% effective contraceptive, but I can almost guarantee there's 100% success rate with holding a fish.
Because what it says is I'm a guy who's like never around or is that doing my own thing?
No, I think it just says I like fishing, and that's not a turn on.
Right.
Mm. And it's like,
but the thing is though, having a hobby in itself like that isn't exactly a turn off to a lot of people. But I don't know, there's just something unnatural about holding something that spends, 100% of its time, well, nearly 100% of its time in the water. Mm. And I don't know, I think it just freaks a lot of people out. But if it's your hobby and that's what you do, you kind of got to own it. But at the same time, maybe not have it on your dating app.
Hey, our awesome online guru, he does all our socials. So he's kind of like,
His
name's Parente. And he's on Tinder. And I've had a bit of a disagreement with him before about his profile pic. But he says, no, it says something about me, so I should have it. Now, we've sent you some that he's had. What do you think about the first one where he's got a shark on his head and he's out the front of a Jaws sign?
It's a shark hat. It's a novelty shark hat.
To be fair, I would swipe right.
Is that the sort of person you're after, Parente? Stav?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, then don't go on Tinder. Perfectly. It's a match made in heaven. What do you think of that profile pic?
To be honest with you, the first one is nothing drives women crazy quite like a stuffed animal made into a hat. But but I'd definitely say, after looking at some of the photos, there's a photo on number, let me actually count it. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the fifth photo. Definitely have the fifth photo of you. I think it's you like skateboarding or like longboarding or something. Yep. Definitely have that one. You've got a nice, you've got a smile, direct eye contact. You've got like a cool background, nice colouring, great photo. I definitely have that one as your first one.
And it's active.
And then the shark one, maybe. Yep. Exactly, yeah. And then I'd definitely say maybe have the Jaws one, kind of towards the end, and maybe even the last photo, just because it's a bit fun.
isn't a helmet risky though? Like, seeing.
I don't mind the helmet because
you're an adult in a helmet sometimes makes you turn into like a 4-year-old.
Have you just been skateboarding?
Yeah, you can see the skateboard at the bottom of the
furniture. Yeah, so he's skateboarding, it's fine. And then you'd swipe and you'd see that he's not wearing a helmet.
It's not a Spider-Man helmet, though, is it?
Just a grey helmet.
Yeah.
But okay. I do like your theory of the hat. Tell James why you've got the Jaws one at the front.
So I've got the Jaws one at the front as kind of a filter because I'm not necessarily looking for the most swipes, but hopefully the people who like that photo are the people that I'm going to swipe on. That was kind of what I was thinking. What do you reckon?
And how did it go for you?
So if... it's a process of elimination then.
Exactly right. Do you think that makes sense?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, how's it working for you though?
Early days.
Why don't you just put in your profile pic must have same interest in movies?
Nah. What do you think about this? This is in his bio. I've just noticed this. You do say that for your job, that you are the video producer at B105. So you are saying, you know, work at the radio station, I'm in the media. Is what you do for a job, would you say, is important to put that into your, like, if you talk it up, James? Do girls actually check that?
It depends on the person, because sometimes you can come across as kind of like, you know, showy offy on some of the things that you have on your so if you put like, you know, you're a CEO of a company or something like that, it's not that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, it's fantastic you're a CEO, but a lot of people are just going to find it either intimidating or just not quite the right, I'm not sure how to say, but the right vibe. But I think video producer at B105, and I mean, everybody knows it's, you know, pretty much the best radio station in the world.
Well, so thank you, James.
It holds a lot of credibility.
Right on you. Well done, James. Yeah.
See, I think I wouldn't want a job description on the profile, because I always think that means that that's not defining you.
Unemployed,
no.
On benefits, milking the government for everything I can,
holding a fish.
Just saying, I'd like to, you know, maybe read it in their bio, but not like in their.
All right, let's
first photo,
James. We've gotten so much great information from you. What I think we do now, Parente, is we set you up two profiles. Let's go down to the Coles downstairs at the barracks. Let's get you a big fish. Let's get one of you holding a fish and then one of your good one here, the skateboarding one, and let's just see how many hits we get over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Do it.
Yeah. Love it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
All right, James, you're the most swiped right man on Tinder. You've had the most girls say that they like the look of you. Buddy, really appreciate you coming on this morning and sharing your tips for everybody.
No problem.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
As another show draws to a close, Stav, Abby and Matt take a moment to reflect.
Wake up this morning and it was pretty chilly and I was pretty excited to use something that I haven't, and that is my B105 jumper. They're pretty cool jumpers. However, there's been a bit of an issue with the jumpers lately, because there's a group of girls here that are pregnant and haven't been telling anyone, and they have been using the baggy jumper as a cover-up.
The B105 jumper, great for when you're hiding that bump.
So now I'm like, if I wear it...
B stands for bump.
It just looks, you know, everyone goes, oh, it's the jumper.
She's pregnant!
Yeah. I mean, that, even our producer who doesn't want to be pregnant, is scared of the jumper. Still wearing it though, aren't you?
Wonder if we should...
Comfy.
If people are trying to get pregnant,
do we
give away some of our B105 jumpers?
Can you take off your jumper and give it to someone, or do you want new ones?
I think they probably want new
ones. Well, it depends.
That one's got the good vibes, though, Stav.
Mm. Do you think the pregnancy's in the actual fabric on you?
Were you wearing it at the time?
I mean, I wasn't wearing it at the time, but I've been wearing it consistently since the strip turned pink, so maybe...
Did you take it off to conceive? Like, was that what you were wearing just before?
Oh, it was around. It was close by.
It does it for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll give out some.
Yeah.
131060, if you're trying at the moment, we'll chuck you a baby 105 jumper and see how you go.
They can have mine.
Yeah.
Thanks, but no
thanks. I know it's been going on for a long time with me, but every time it happens, it just kills me a little more in the inside. I used to be the guy in the radio station who could fix the technical problems.
Mm.
Like, I learned technology. Fun. Like, I would be like, oh, Maddie knows how to do that. Ask Maddie. And then I'd have to come into the guy on the breakfast show and be like, all right, get out the way. Let me fix it. But more and more, I'm calling people in here to help me fix things.
Can I just say, I feel like your old wife, and I can see how broken you are every time. And I too used to be able to fix it, but I gave up a while ago, and now I'm watching you realise that you're not the young, cool tech guy.
I can't keep up with the jocks anymore.
And he keeps looking at me and going, it's because things have changed. But then the guy came in, and it was pretty, pretty simple.
I've never known anything about what goes on that side of the desk.
You are old.
Okay.
I'm getting old.
Give him that. It's okay.
It's who I am now, and I need to accept it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
No.
Thanks. But no thanks.
It's a bit adventurous yesterday, because I do the cooking, you do the shopping.
Because you're good looking.
That's right. Chefs get the chicks. That's insane. But... I normally go to my Woolies, and I thought, no, you know what? I'm going to think outside the box this time.
The meat's pretty good at Aldi.
I'd heard the meat was good at Aldi. I've heard the meat is very good. Mm. And that turned out to be true.
It is good, yeah.
It is good. Had lamb last night, air fried, of course. It was lovely. But everything's not where it is in Woolies.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's not. I could just go boom, 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 boom there because I go there so often that I just know where everything is. And I was like, wait, can you help me find the dishwashing pods,
I don't
Rory?
Like the no music.
I didn't notice that, but I will next time. Yeah. No, Rory didn't shut up the entire time we were there. It's just a little bit. I mean, everything, and it was a lot cheaper, which was great, but everything was just a little bit.
What'd you get from the middle?
No, managed to avoid the middle. I've heard that's
a
trap.
How do you go packing your bags?
Like, I enjoy that.
I still stress.
Mm.
No matter if they go, no, that's fine, take your time. I'm like, you don't mean that.
Oh, you honestly don't mean it. You put it in the trolley and then you take it over to the table.
Yeah.
I've told you the hack, though, to catch up.
Yes, I get something in there that doesn't have a price on it to slow them down.
As they're scanning away, you have one item you don't need. So then you go, oh, no.
That's like, right, yes.
They scan it, you go, oh, no, I didn't want this. So then the time it takes them to unscan it, you quickly rebag all the bits left over. You're like, yeah, gotcha. Suck
that's
it.
That's good.
Take it over to the, that's what the table's for.
Yeah, but then I have so much.
Ah.
So I use the whole table.
Who would have thought you'd open this Aldi can of worms, eh?
Thanks for nothing.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
That's a podcast, guys. Have a great one. Bye.
Hey.
Stav, Abby and Matt.
Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.